Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. Back for another episode. No Ben this week, but I am joined by Lee. Lee is a high-ticket dropshipper. He's Australian, like me. So it's actually nice to record one of these in a reasonable hour of the day. He's a member of the Dropship Breakthrough Program. And Lee has popped up on our feed, one of our feeds recently, with a very interesting story to tell. And Ben and I both thought, well, that's very unique. I don't think I've heard that story before. So let's get Lee on the show and just get him to share this experience that he's been through. And, you know, I think it's certainly, I've been doing this for 10 years, Lee, and I don't think I've heard of anybody doing what you're doing now. I wouldn't say that it's never happened, but I've certainly never heard of it. So we'll get to that. You're starting off as a high-ticket dropshipper. How long ago did you get started with that?
Well, started in the low-ticket space just before COVID hit. Did the whole Averlo thing and did the whole, what we were doing, stainless steel clothes pegs. We thought that was going to be the big thing. And it was good. Like, you know, the Averlo course was like, you've got to try lots of different niches and you might not get a sale for 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. And at the time, I was doing lots of different stuff for a charity that I was working for in Queensland here and doing the web thing and the Facebook ads thing. And I thought, I could do this, photographer by trade as well. So the content's there. And we got a sale. We got 2 sales within 3 days. And I thought, oh, cool. You know, this is where we're above the game here. And then literally like 6 weeks later, we find out that COVID's a thing and our stainless steel clothes peg factory was in Wuhan. That was the end of that. But it proved a concept and it proved that my skills aligned with something that was pretty cool, I thought. So fast forward, I exited that charity and went to another charity. I'll be honest, the first charity, I kind of took a bit of a hit confidence-wise with some of my skills. And then when I went to the second charity, had an amazing boss there and really started to lift my confidence a bit and thought, you know what, I'm going to jump back into that space and really have a look around. So I think that was, when would it be? The start of 2021, I started looking around at what else was out there to refamiliarize myself with the dropship space. And then your podcast, came across my feed and I started playing the first episode and an Australian voice came in and I thought, oh, this is good. And I really gelled with the content and the marketer in me was very much like, wow, this is where I need to be. So awesome. From there it was, I think I must have ingested about 80 episodes. And then I went through the same space that everybody else goes in. I'm like, oh, I can do this myself. I don't need to pay for the course. And then learned very quickly that the level of support in that course is astronomical. It's going from start a store to this is the first step. This is the second step. So, once I made the decision to jump into the course, it was an easy decision to make. The best part about it was that when we jumped into the Averlo stuff and did the low ticket thing, my wife actually did the course with me.
Okay.
So she was familiar with the concept. When I started talking about the high ticket drop shipping and the course and the journey, she was on board as well, which was fantastic.
Yep. That definitely makes life easy if you have somebody else in your life, a significant relationship for sure. I always find it really cool when I get to have somebody who was listening to the podcast come on the podcast. And that's kind of where you started your journey. And now your episode, you're going to be episode 314.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a pretty cool experience for me too. Let me tell
you. Yeah, no, that's really cool. I mean, that's the reason we, Ben and I, started the show is to help people, you know, go through changes in their life, positive changes, and through entrepreneurship and business. So that's really awesome to have you here. So how's the high ticket dropshipping been going for you? You've been doing it for a while now. I know we've certainly on and off touched base about what your journeys look like. And I think you're also as well, I mean, we'll get to your interesting story that was kind of the point of this whole show. But I think you've also been doing some interesting things from the high ticket dropshipping perspective as well that maybe not everybody does. I don't know how much you want to tell us about that, but how's your journey been with the high ticket dropshipping since you started?
Yeah, it's been good. I'm in a space where freight is a bit of an issue to deal with. Mm-hmm. So that was the first hurdle. But I onboarded some suppliers early on and started really understanding that freight was a thing. They all said, you know, well, that's great, but how are you going to do freight? And I guess that was one of the things that I struggled with in the beginning. Like, I was trying to stick to the course almost to the letter. Mm-hmm. And the whole free shipping thing was definitely something that I wanted to do, but it wasn't possible. So you and sure. I caught up yep. and we had a bit of a chat, and then it became evident that, you know, it's like some of my products you can't get in stores. So, you know, people in remote Australia, like, I remember my first customer, and he was like ex-service guy in like regional New South Wales, and he just bought. Like, I was out for lunch with my wife, and, you know, cha-ching, and I'm like, oh yeah, cool, you know, thinking it might be like a local one or a lower ticket item, and like, I'm just eating sushi, and then I look at my phone, and I'm like, oh, this guy's just spent $3,000, and he's in regional, you know, New South Wales, and he's quite happy to pay $450 shipping because he doesn't want to drive 3 hours to go and collect it from a depot or something like that. So yeah, it was a very eye-opening kind of journey, especially when we got the shipping sorted. But yeah, overall, it's been really good. Like, definitely, you know, listening to some of the other guests on the podcast, you know, I definitely had the same fears that they had. You know, you start calling suppliers and then you realize, oh wow, this is just as beneficial for them as it is for me. And then, yeah, you're just working on things as you go. But yeah, it was quite good. Early on, you know, I really wanted to bring all of my skills into play, and, you know, I shoot my own videos, I edit my own videos, photography and website and all that kind of stuff. And it all just kind of comes together. So it was all about, you know, what can I do that's unique to use those skill sets to, you know, minimize cost, do something different, you know, whatever that was. So, you know, early on it was about getting in front of the camera and trying to answer questions that bridge the gap, stop the phone from ringing almost, you know. You know, if you can answer questions and get your hands on products, film them and do all that kind of stuff, then you know, the phone's not going to ring, but you're also building trust. And,
yep.
And yeah, that was the aim early on.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're never as far along as you want to be, though. I look back at, you know, I say that now, and it sounds like I've been, you know, creating content on YouTube for yonks, but that's not the case. I could always be doing more, that's for sure.
Hey, if you've been thinking about starting your high-ticket dropshipping journey with us here at Dropship Breakthrough, but you've got questions, you're unsure about what's inside the course, you're unsure if it's right for you, or you just love to hear from the experience of our students, you can jump on a free call right now with a member of our team who is also a Dropship Breakthrough student and successful high-ticket dropshipper to talk about all of those things. Just head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/call and book your call today. Yeah, and so, like, are you actually, you're buying your own products, or are you, like, just getting them on loan from your supplier? How are you actually...
What does that
actually look like for you?
Yeah, that was unique. So yeah, that's kind of where the interesting story kicks off. I rang a supplier that I was really keen to get on board, and I really love the product. And I called her and she said, nah, sorry, we don't deal with people like you. And I was, and I never forget this part.
I love that, sorry, people like you.
Yeah, because dropshipping has got such a bad name. You know, someone comes in and ruins it for everybody. And I hit her with your line from the course and it started everything. That point was the point where the trajectory completely changed. And now, like when I'm sitting here talking to you, it's like, wow, that's the point that it all changed. And she said, oh, look, sorry, we don't deal with dropshippers. And I said, like you said in the course, do you mind if I ask you why? Why is that? Instead of just accepting it, yeah. I wanted more info. And she went into detail and she said, oh, look, you know, we've had lots of problems in the past with dropshippers mm-hmm. not offering customer service, not being willing to be there for the customer, you know. And I just said, well, that's not me. I just said, like, I can't understand how a person could offer this product without knowing the product, without learning the product, without being willing to take on the customer service. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the conversation got going. And then that conversation turned into a, whereabouts are you? Oh, well, I actually need someone in that area to do demos because obviously, you know, we're selling high ticket items. And when a customer reaches out, it's like some of them need to see the product to get it over the line. Some of them, you know, need to try the product.
Mm.
So then that turned into a, all right, let's go. I'm on board. I'm going to do this. And she was like, all right, let's meet and you can take the product and try it out for yourself. And then from there, I was absolutely sold. So then it became a, all right, what happens when someone calls and they need to try one of these products? So I need a demo stock.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when I went down to meet her in person and try the product, we got talking and she said, is this your full-time thing? And I said, no, it's not. But hopefully maybe one day. It's like, what are you doing now? And I said, I'm a content creator. I do video and photo. I had a freelance business on the side as well. And yeah, that was it. 2 weeks later, she calls me up and says, I need some video work done. Like, can you do that? And can we ensure that there's no blurry lines here and that, you know, everything you shoot for me is for my business? I'm like, yeah, this is great. This is fantastic. She's like, cool, send over a quote. So I said, free of charge, but I'd like demo stock in return. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yep, let's do it. So over a period of like maybe 18 months, it wouldn't be 18 months. It'd be about the 12-month mark. I would have, maybe obtained 6 or 7. And she was amazing. Like she was like, oh, these are my high selling products, you know? So I knew the ones that I needed to target in order to get the most bang for buck. So that relationship kicked on and it got to a point where 95% of the time that I would do a demo in person, I would sell the product and I would upsell and all that kind of stuff in person. So that worked out really well. And yeah, it was kicking along nicely. Then this earlier this year, we started talking about, you know, working on other things together. You know, maybe starting another sideline business and, you know, conversation turned to, well, how are you going to have time to do this with your day job? So, you know, I was crunching figures to see what kind of numbers I'd need to make in order to exit my day job and make it a full-time thing. And
mm-hmm.
I remember I was on my way into the city here in Brisbane for a photo shoot for my day job. And, you know, I was running a bit early and I was listening to the episode, which I still think is one of the best ones to date, the $6,000 how much do you need to make in order to exit your job? And I think in the podcast, it came down to like, you know, you need to make $6,000 in sales. And that kind of worked out to be the same for me. And I'm like pulled over on the side of the road and I've got Google Sheets up and I'm working it out. And the whole day I was at work and I was shooting, but I was thinking about that in the back of my mind. It's like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And it kind of stuck with me for a bit, but you know, I had that number in mind and what I needed to make per year to exit that charity. Cause in Australia you get good tax incentives for working with charity. And, you know, when you jump from charity to a private sector job again, there's a gap. So I kind of knew what that figure was, and kind of, you know, it was a goal in the distance. And then probably about 3 months ago now, my supplier asked me, I've got these free tickets for this conference, this marketing conference. Just come along with me, pretend that you're a staff member of mine, and we'll, you know, we'll learn something together, bounce some ideas, whatever. So I'm like, yeah, cool. That sounds like fun. So away we went, and then it was amazing. Some nice brands in the room, and, you know, lots of ideas kicking around. And we went out for lunch, and she said, oh, I got something I want to run past you. And I thought, oh, yeah, cool, new product. It may be an exclusive, something like that for the website. And then she slid a position description across the table and was like, you know, name your price. And I was like, nah, you can't say name your price. Like, everyone has a price. Like, and to be honest, I don't think if I name a price, it's really beneficial. So she's like, no, name your price. Like, I'm not lost on this opportunity. You know, if I was to hire, I can go out and hire a videographer. I can hire a photographer. I can hire, you know, an ads person. But what you bring to the table is the passion for the product. You know the product. You've been dealing with the customers for ages, and now we're just going to bring it all together. And she said, you know, if you add up what it would cost me to do all those things, you know, all of a sudden that number doesn't sound very, very like a big deal anymore. So, yeah. That was an interesting conversation. And then, yeah, pretty hard to get out of your head at that point. So we lulled on it for about a week, and then we started talking about it seriously, but it became pretty apparent that there was two ways this could go. Either I needed to talk about the shutting my business down. And at this point I'd already sunk probably 10 months worth of work into it. And there was this kind of moment where it's like, 10 months isn't that much, and you've learnt quite a bit. So I'm sure you could find something else and kick it off again. So there was that element of it. And then the other side of it was, well, what if we can make this work? Like, what can we do? And she's really approachable. So yeah, we started talking about that, and then we figured out that there was a sweet spot in the middle where we could make a couple of adjustments on my end and not compete. And so that's where we landed. So I've managed to nab this, you know, I'm not going to say pay rise, because it was slightly higher than what I needed, but it wasn't like hugely higher. It wasn't like the major factor for the jump, but we landed on a number that everyone was happy. And yeah, now I'm working for a supplier. And like, I spoke to a guy the other day, and on the Facebook group, I was like, this is a really weird position to be in, because, you know, my supplier knows what I'm doing. So I try to keep my phone calls to a minimum, you know, like, but if one phone rings, I'm a customer service rep for the supplier. And if the other phone rings, I'm a dropshipper for my own business. And yeah, it's kind of like happened over time organically. So it wasn't until like one of the guys reached out in the Facebook group, and then you guys started talking about it, and I like zoomed out, and I'm like, wow, this is actually pretty cool.
yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, it's a fantastic story. So just so people are clear, Lee's now working for his supplier while also running a business, high ticket dropshipping business in the same niche. And yeah, I think that's, and in the course of doing that, was able to quit his day job, like other day job, in the course of doing that. And does this, like, for, how do you feel this, is this a good thing? Is this a good thing for your business, do you think? How do you think about that?
100%. Yeah, there was a lot of conversations with some close friends of mine in the lead up to make sure that this was a beneficial jump. So shout out to Anika and Nick, who will probably hear this podcast after I've sent it to them. Rob is a close friend of mine that has strong history in businesses like this, and a very smart man. And he was one of the people, he was kind of protecting my interests. you know, as I was going through business, I had a couple of really dark days where, you know, my ads weren't working and, you know, you get in your head and, you know, he kind of pick you up and go, look, mate, you know, you've got this other person on the side and they're looking for other things to do. And I think you just need to focus on your business. And so that was kind of difficult, but he was kind of sitting there going, look, you need to focus on your business and grow that. And then when this opportunity came up to jump over to the supplier, I took it to him and I said, look, I know you said just focus on the business, but what do you think of this? And he was like, thought about it for a second. And he's like, I think this could be the best opportunity that you've ever had. Like, you could look back at this in 5 years' time when you've got, you know, maybe a couple of businesses or you've got, you know, some VAs and you think that was the turning point where everything changed. So that has definitely happened. You know, my boss now is an incredible marketer with incredible experience and focus on lots of different areas. And just being in that space and then like being part of those conversations every day, part of those, you know, those tests, you know, looking at the ad accounts and talking about different things that have worked 1 year and didn't work another year, like that is just amazing. And it's not due to the niche. Like there are niche elements like demographics and things like that and personas, but ultimately it's the same for everything that we do. So when we talked about getting together as an employee kind of scenario, we talked about starting another business and having profit share and all that kind of stuff. And it's in my contract. Mm-hmm. So there's always that element from the very beginning that we're doing this to learn and we're doing this to grow in other areas. And it might not be this niche, but it might be another niche later on down the track. But the skill set is there to replicate no matter what we do.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's fantastic. That's a great mindset to bring to it. And I think, to me, like, I think, you know, for people listening, this probably all sounds a bit counterintuitive. They'd be like, well, didn't you start a business so you don't have to work in a job anymore? You don't have to work for somebody anymore. But I kind of think, like, you know, if that opportunity was presented and you were building a business, but you weren't quite at the stage with that business that you could go full time with it and feel comfortable quitting your day job, you know, like you had that other day job previously, like this is kind of like the next best thing. Like, because as you say, you get to go into a business, you get access to a whole bunch of experience and knowledge and, you know, practices that you, like, it's a very unique perspective to have. You get to see things from the supplier side. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great for the niche you're in, but just from a general sense, there's a lot you can learn there just about, you know, marketing, sales, e-commerce in general. And I think that's, you know, wherever it leads to over time, I think that's still, while it may seem counterintuitive to people, I think that's actually a really cool thing to have the opportunity to do. And I think had I had that opportunity or were I in that situation, I would probably do the same thing. I think, you know, for some people, they'd probably be like, I don't know if that's the right thing for me, but I think it's a really cool thing. And I don't think it's going to come up for many people in that sense, but, I love the story because I think it's a great, something that Ben and I always say is that like taking up entrepreneurship, building a business, yes, it's partly about the business, but it's really about like the life change that you go through in doing that. And sometimes it just takes you in really unforeseen directions and opportunities can come up along the way that you just didn't expect. Like you didn't think in your wildest dreams that would happen. Like, I mean, if you had told me 10 years ago that, oh, when I started my first dropshipping business, you know, I'm going to be sitting here talking to Lee on episode 314 of a podcast about dropshipping and, you know, have thousands of students around the world and have run a marketing agency for e-commerce businesses and done all of these things, I would say, nah, I don't even want to do that. I don't like talking to people. I don't want to be on a podcast where I spend my whole day talking and blah, 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 and all this sort of stuff. And yeah, but the opportunities arise different. And I've heard that from a lot of people. They were like, oh, you know, I started dropshipping, but then, you know, I learned some things in doing that. And I realized, oh, there's actually a product over here I can get manufactured and go and sell. And now I'm in a direct-to-consumer business, or now I'm running some service-based business within that niche that I was in, that, and I'm not selling physical products anymore. And I think being open, like just putting yourself in the situation, putting yourself in that place in life where you can be open to those opportunities, I think that's really, for me, that's one of the greatest things about making the decision to start your own business. And I think your story is really, is just a great example of that. Whether it happens to a single other person who does high ticket dropshipping ever again is irrelevant. It's kind of just, I think it's such a great example that you've just got to be there. You've got to put yourself there, and you've got to have an open mind to opportunities, because they come up. If you're in business, if you're just there, if you put yourself there and you stay there, you know, you just don't quit, you stay there, like all sorts of things come across your path.
It really is amazing. And like to think that, like if I averaged it out, I always go from the first sale that I made, I haven't even done 12 months yet.
Mm-hmm.
So like my entire trajectory has changed in less than a 12-month period. So I always knew that, like I wanted to be in this space, you know, and be making money, but it was never a full-time thing for me. And, you know, I remember on our very first call where it was like the vetting call, you know, like what do you actually want out of the course? You know, are we the right fit for you? That kind of thing. And I said to you, like, you said to me, what do you want to do? Like, how much do you want to make out of this?
Did I?
And I was like, you know what? I'd be happy to make 10K in a year. And you were like, look, I can't make any guarantees, but like 10K is pretty easy to make once you kick this thing off. And I was like, well, all right, let's see where this goes. And it was. It was really, once the ball starts rolling, it does happen, and you're kind of left with this, wow, how did I get here moment? And yeah, same as what's going on for me right now, you know, sitting on this podcast that kind of kicked it all off. You know, if you're sitting out there thinking about the course, just stop thinking and get in and start doing. You don't learn anything until you start doing it and making mistakes and looking at things from a different perspective. It's really, I can't even explain to people what you get once you start doing.
Yeah, I think it's hard to describe. It's hard to, like, you think about it, like, and like I said, I talk a lot about, you know, taking you through a life change. And I think there's just so many positive changes that happen. I mean, it brings some baggage with it, let's face it, running a business and being responsible for that. And, you know, if your income starts to go up, then kind of, you know, anxiety can go up with that sometimes. And it does bring a new set of, I guess, things to manage along with it. But I think sometimes it's really hard to quantify all of the personal changes you go through as well. And just like, even if you don't, the outcomes don't look like what you thought they were going to be in the beginning, because they almost never do. I find the journey never looks like what you think it looks like from the outside, of course. But just the change you go through and the way you look at life in general, I think that's so massive, but it's very hard to explain to somebody.
Yeah,
who's not going through that? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it is. And yeah, like there was a close friend that I had at my last charity that I worked for. And I remember I didn't tell too many people I was going to do the course because I was afraid of what might happen, you know, if I failed.
Mm.
And she was one of the first person that I told, and she rubbished it. And after that, I was, you know, she was like, they're a scam, they're shysters. And then it paused for a bit, but then, you know, it became a trust thing. It's like, no, you know, there's an element there that you guys have been in the game, and I could feel that via the podcast and the stuff that you were explaining. So I pushed ahead. But there's definitely been challenges. For me, the biggest one was this year, like, it's a relatively seasonal kind of niche that I'm in. And, you know, I was advertising and my ads just fell flat, like completely flat. Like I lost like a K, like just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm not like, you know, I've been feeding most of it back into the business. So I'm not like rolling in it. But that was a moment that, you know, my anxiety really showed to the point where it was, you know, I really had to slap myself and go, just turn them off. Like, if you know that that's what it's doing to your mental health, turn it off. You got lots of other things you can focus on, lots of content to create, lots of SEO to do. So rather than, you know, blindly flying towards the light, like the moth, try and change your trajectory a bit and improve the mental health, come back and regain. So that's probably the biggest challenge that I've had in my journey. But yeah, talking to some other guys last night from the course as well. Yeah, everybody has their own challenges and everybody's business is different. So I think it's important to, you know, surround yourself with people, especially those in the course and the Facebook group, that, you know, if nothing else, even if you don't participate in the conversations, it's understanding that everybody's dealing with the same thing, even though at the time you might feel like you're the only one.
Yep. Yep, definitely. Definitely. I want to just jump back a little bit to something you mentioned earlier, just because I know it's going to be interesting to people.
Sure.
I think, and we mentioned a podcast episode as well in there along the way. That was episode 280 for anybody who wants to go back and listen to the episode about, I think the episode's titled, What Should I Focus On to Hit 6K a Month in Net Profit? Which is a very, I don't know why it's 6K, but it's a very common goal for a lot of people, which is where that episode came from. So if you want to go back, I'll link it below, but it's episode 280. If you want to scroll back and check that one out, it is one of our most popular episodes, certainly in the last 6 to 12 months. But just, I want to go back to the demo product thing. Now, you mentioned that you arranged the demo products in return for doing some, you know, some work for the supplier, so providing some value in return. And what physically, so you get those demo products and you're keeping them where you live, like how does this whole thing work? And then how are you connecting with the customers to look at those? Was that like leads coming from the supplier, or were you getting those people coming in through your website? How does that old piece look? Because I think not everybody obviously who's listening is going to have the ability to go and do videography work for the supplier, for their supplier in return for demo products. But I don't think that's the point. Because I think this is something that a lot of people could do out there who are running a high ticket dropshipping business. You know, one of the things that a lot of people say is, oh, you know, they want to do some photography or they want to do some content around products, but they're like, but I don't have the products. And so just kind of like how that, like what's the actual nuts and bolts there? If you could share a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of ways for people that are looking to do that. There's a couple of ways they can approach it. So in this particular occasion that we were talking about before, so I physically take ownership of the products. So they become mine. Mm-hmm. I use them all the time. And then when a customer comes from the supplier, there's like a, you know, there's a section there where they can reach out to retailers around Australia, and I'm listed there as a retailer.
Okay. Yep.
They'll reach out and they'll usually know exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll call me up and go, hey, we want to see this. And I'll go, right, cool. What are you doing Saturday morning? You know, and then we'll catch up. And the other one is through my own website. So there's, you know, lead forms and stuff on there. For those specific products. The other way that you can do it too is to basically reach out to the supplier and say, hey, this is my direction. Like, I'd like to create content. We're getting, you know, XYZ questions from customers, and we really like to answer them in a form that a lot of people can digest, which is, you know, YouTube video, whatever. Do you have a demo item or a returned, refurbished item, whatever it is, that you would be willing to supply me if I pay for shipping there and back? Mm-hmm. And that's usually something that people agree to.
Yeah.
Because there's no risk for them. They've got this demo item that's kind of kicking around.
Yeah.
You only want it in person for video. So they're like, all right, well, you're going to pay shipping. There's nothing, no risk for me other than the fact that he's going to leave with the item. But, you know, we'll work that out later. And then the other thing is too, that if you're able, if like you're already getting wholesale pricing, so you purchase that item outright, or you tell them, hey, look, I want to film this. Can you do a better price for a demo stock? And you buy it outright.
Yep.
If you can knock them down for demo stock even further, then throw it up on Facebook Marketplace and see if you can break even or maybe even make a profit, depending on, you know, how new the item is. And, you know, I've definitely seen others do that too, where, you know, they score an item for, you know, $500. Its retail is like $1,200 and they'll throw it up for $700 and everyone gets a bargain and you make some money. So there's a couple of different ways that you can do it. Obviously, it depends on how big the items are.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. There might be some realities around high-ticket products for people based on where they live and what their arrangements are. But I think, anybody can do that, right? I mean, all brands and suppliers usually will have a return product. It's not in its original packaging. They can't resell it as new. Or they already have their own demo products and they're just, as you say, kicking around in their warehouse. They're out of their packaging and they can ship them. And so we talk a lot about, you know, people are always asking, like, how can I differentiate myself from my competition and other dropshippers? And this is literally one of the ways. You can have unique images for your products. You can have videos for your products that nobody else has. You can put them on YouTube. You can do, you know, all sorts of other content, demonstrate how they work. There's so many different ways that you can come at this. And particularly for your top sellers, for a high ticket dropshipping business, you're not going to do it for every single product on your business, on your site, because you might have hundreds, but you don't need to either. There's going to be just a handful of products for most people that account for a lot of their sales. And so it's a cool opportunity. I think the next point of resistance when we talk about that, though, to some people is, and I'm going to kind of take advantage of the fact that you're a professional videographer and content creator as well, like, is like, people will bring up the resistance. Well, I'm you know, how do I do any of that? I don't know how to, you know, create videos and all that stuff. Like, but it's pretty simple, right?
Like, it can be. So you can do the full polish, but to be honest, that's a waste of your time.
Yeah.
The way that I do my videos is I do a lead in, you know, hi, I'm Lee from blah, blah, blah. And today we're going to be looking at X. Mm-hmm. And then you jump straight into a lead out, you know, thanks for watching. Hope I've answered your questions, blah, blah, blah. Jump on the website, you know, hit us up if you want to place it or something like that. So you do those two. So that's your lead in and lead out. And then everything in the middle, you can choose to do whatever you want. So I've done products before where, you know, obviously I need photos as well. Mm-hmm. So you've got a list of features that are pertaining to that product. You shoot those features and then you animate those still images and do a voiceover.
Yep.
So that's one way to do it. Or you use, you know, you use video and you have to take photos alongside that, but you know, you're trying to make things as easy as possible for yourself. The other thing that you can do too is unboxings.
Yep.
You know, if you've got items that are small enough to be unboxed, you know, I saw a really cool ad on Facebook the other day that caught my eye for like a remote control lawnmower. And the whole ad was literally a time lapse of him opening the box at like 6 o'clock at night. And it just looked weird. So, you know, you watch it. But, I mean, from a content perspective, it's like, how easy is that? You're going to unbox it anyway. So you might as well put a camera somewhere and bring it along for the ride. There's content opportunities everywhere. And I'd definitely be saying, anybody out there that's kind of thinking about getting started with video, think about how you can make it simple. Because if it's not simple, you won't do it.
Yeah.
It needs to be... Yep. Raw and easy, so that if there is minimal editing, it's not a full day job. It's not these guys that, you know, edit 6 hour TikToks and things like that. I'm like, no, you got to be moving on to the next product.
Yeah. What about equipment wise?
Well, I'm lucky. I got some pretty good equipment. Yeah.
But do you need fancy equipment to do this? I guess that's. I'm just trying to knock over everybody's resistance points to these things. Well, you answer one, there's the next one. The next one is equipment. People think, do a video. I've got to have lighting, and I've got to have, you know, white screens, and I've got to have this, and I've got to have all that sort of stuff set up. But do you really need to?
No. You can go that far if you want to, but people are going to be switching off. Like, especially when it comes to social ads and things like that. You know, if you're running content that looks polished, people. You know, aren't going to be clicking on that. So honestly, you can get started with a phone. The best possible thing I could suggest, use your phone. go out and get a DJI or equivalent gimbal for your phone.
Mm-hmm.
That will give you, you know, really smooth, you know, feature style content. So, you know, if you've got a chair that you're looking at, you know, you can do a nice sweep around the chair, make it look really professional and stuff like that. But probably a gimbal and a wireless mic. And that would be all I'd consider.
Yep. Yep. I it's exactly what I would use. So I use a, if anybody, the gimbal that John uses is an Insta 360 Flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one. I would recommend
actually,
that.
That's another really cool thing that I could tell you. If you're willing to step up, I think I paid about $650 or $700, but the Insta 360, InstaGo 3, I think it might be. It's an action cam, but you can remove the front and it's like about the size, I don't know, of your thumb. And you can clip it onto your hat and it gives you this first person view from almost like, you know, first person.
Yep.
And you do that for your unboxings and you talk through it. So you're literally just unboxing it with a camera on your head. And yeah, your unboxing's really easy to create like that.
Yep. In Insta 360 X3, there's also an X4 now. Yep. But yeah, I use Insta360.com if anybody's listening. I also use my webcam I'm using right now as an Insta 360 as well. Insta 360.
Oh, wow.
Very good webcams. I've used about 57 million, and this is the only one I've ever actually liked. So I'll give a shout out. If you're looking for a webcam, anybody, Insta 360 Link is the one you want to get.
They're not awesome. Sponsored, but yeah, definitely.
No sponsors at all.
Definitely send through some gear, guys.
Well, every time I buy something from them, they send me a t-shirt. I've got like 57 of their t-shirts. I should start wearing them on every podcast. So they pick me up sooner or later. But yeah, awesome. Well, Lee, thank you very much for coming on. I think your story, while it's got a long way to go, has been, I think what I would love people to take from this is just that, you know, these cool things, which I think are cool, and obviously your journey's got a long way to go yet, like we all do, and who knows where this is going to take you, and maybe it would be cool to touch base again in 12 months or something and see, like, how all this is going for you and how it's all working together and whether it's opened up further opportunities for you and things like that. But
yeah, that'd be cool.
It's a unique story, but I think what I'd love people to take from this is, like, you just have to put yourself in the situation where these things can happen, where opportunities can come up that you don't expect, but you have to take those first steps, you know. So if you're listening to this podcast, I know a lot of people listen to this podcast that haven't got started yet. These sorts of things, opportunities, ways of business opportunities, employment opportunities, whatever opportunities they are, they just can't come your way unless you put yourself in the situation where they can. And sitting there in your current situation, not taking any action at all, basically guarantees that nothing, these opportunities can't come your way, right? You have to take the first step. So get into a niche, start building a business, and high ticket dropshipping may not end up being your thing, but what's going to happen is you're going to learn so much. You're going to have other opportunities come across your desk, and you'll have the opportunity to take advantage of those if you want to. But you've got to start. You've got to start like Lee started somewhere. Yeah, thank you very much, Lee. I've enjoyed hearing about this for sure. So unexpected.
Very welcome. Super happy to be here.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. not just drop shipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat drop shipping businesses to PDF drop shipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.